the most misused and I think misunderstood processes in all of what I call Christian dumb, where they have an opinion of it. It's almost like a Eastern Indian kind of meditation type thing, the way they approach it, as though it's in the repetition of words. It is in the time, it's in the clearing of the mind that we reach this kind of mental nirvana while we are saying our words. And that can't be farther from the truth. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. And I think with the overabundance of the use of prayer and little understanding of it, we create kind of the mess we see towards prayer today. When we look at prayer, Matthew 6 verse 5 tells us not to use, and we looked at this last week, what the Bible calls vain repetitions. Now, again, that would be where our Catholic friends, our Lutheran friends, would go through. And I've seen this in Christian bookstores back when you had a lot of Christian bookstores. Don't have a lot of those anymore. Where they would, you'd buy a book, and almost like a devotional. On October the 10th, you'll open up your devotional, and you pray this prayer to God. Why? Like, can I buy that for my mom? Can I buy that for my dad? On October 10th, I'm going to call my cousin, and I'm going to say these words to my cousin. It doesn't make sense with understanding of what prayer is. All right, it's a conversation. And yes, I keep a list of things to pray for. I've got one of those from the back, and we're going to refresh that today, I promise, with me. I keep this with me with prayer requests and things like that on it. And I go through it because the Lord knows my mind is weak and I can't remember everything all the time. I will neglect something. But I don't sit there and say, all right, now this is the exact poetry I'm going to say. Why? Because it's a conversation. And the moment I lose it and it becomes a vain religion, this conversation becomes vain religion, I begin to digress or begin to pull away from God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. It says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Again, not a promise that everything you ask for you'll get, but the answer will an answer will come. There will be an answer. There will be some kind of response to the prayers that we're asking. It is the cry of the Christian unto God and the request of a child to his or her father. Again, that is what prayer is. Now, who do we pray to? I've heard some people, they'll pray Jesus. Some people, they'll pray God. John 15, verse 16. Now, this is what we would call, hold on. Let's go ahead and get there. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, who are we talking to here? This is not a model. This is not, we're looking at Jesus' instruction on prayer. I'm talking to the Father in Jesus' name. I get this question a lot from a lot of young Christians. Why is it that at the end of your prayers you say in Jesus' name, especially if we're not into vain repetitions? Now, you don't have to say it expressly like that. I've heard a lot of creative ways of saying that we're praying in Jesus' name put into there. But what we're doing is we're acknowledging this passage of Scripture and also one that there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. I'm saying that by the blood of Christ, I am coming to you. And because of the blood of Christ, I am coming to you. And as you ask of the Father, in my name, he may give it to you. So we have that instruction to pray in Jesus' name. but it's God the Father we're talking to. We have to keep that straight. Now, others, they will pray their prayers. They'll pray their prayers to saints. They'll pray their prayers to Mary. And we are affirmed through Scripture that once you pass on, no one's talking to you. We have some people, they struggle in the way to where they will go and they will speak to a family member that has departed. My request to my family is, even if you can reach me, don't. I love you. I miss you, but I'm here. I'm talking to God. I'm in the presence of God the Father. I will see you when you get here. Now, because there is that gap, they can't hear you. All right, let me be more pragmatic about this. They can't hear us. All right, when we're speaking to them, we're speaking for ourselves and to ourselves. And if that helps, well, we can talk about that privately. But for the most part, we can't pray to Mary. Mary don't care. We can't pray to the old saints from the past. They can't hear you. They don't care. Now, if they were here, they would care. They would work. They would labor as they did. They are gone. The only one who cares and hears is God the Father. And let's be honest, that's all you need. That's all you need. Right? The rich man cried out to Lazarus. Lazarus did not answer, right? No, you had that time. He has his reward, right? God is protective of those people up there. Now, how much can they see of what's going on down here? I don't know. But put yourself in their shoes. When you're in heaven, are you really going to be checking the politics of this planet? That is the last thing I want. As a matter of fact, if I could go the rest of my life and not hear another bit of bad news, I would love it, right? We're not going to sit there and say, you know what I miss? CNN. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to get into a position where, like, you know what? I wonder if there's any wildfires going on down there. All right, we're going to be done with it all, and we're going to be happy to be done with it. But most importantly, they can't hear you. Now, some people say, well, how do I phrase my prayer? What do I talk about? Because obviously, it's not a standard conversation where I talk and he talks and the conversation flows, right? When I came in this morning, I knew that I'd be running into you folks. At least I hoped I would. And I didn't plan any of the conversations. Why? Because I'll say something, you'll say something, you'll bring something up, I'll bring something up. Conversation flows. Well, if it's just me talking to the Lord, how do I know what to talk about? Well, from the way that Jesus prayed, when we heard his prayers, he put together in a certain way, in a certain organization of how he did things. And if we're looking to stay organized in our conversation, this would be a pretty good way to do it, right? Number one, adoration. When he would speak to God the Father, the very first thing he would say was both in love and in appreciation of God. And that ought to be our first approach. Too quickly we go as though we're rubbing a lamp on a genie trying to get what we want. Father, give me this and give me this and take care of so-and-so and help so-and-so in Jesus' name, amen. We need to have that conversation. What relationship thrives without that kind of love, without that expression of it? Right? A lot of married relationships fall into problems with this because it's business, 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 and there's never that expression of love. Right? You'll get married, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, I got to go to work, honey. No, I'm going to miss you. And you call each other 15 times a day. And some of you are like, hey, brother, do you need to get home to your wife? No, she doesn't mind if I stay out for a while. Right? We've been married for a while. She doesn't need me or cling to me as much as we used to cling to each other. Is that bad? No. But you know what you still need? Those expressions of love and adoration. You need those. You ever fail to have those, you're going to have problems. Guess what? You need that in your friendships as well. Think of all those friends, those people who stay close to you. Why are they there? How do you talk to them? Well, if it's so important and we can see the ramifications in my daily life with the people I can see, what are the ramifications in my life if I don't show that adoration to God, both in thanks and telling him how wonderful I think he is? We need that both in our soul, and he wants to hear it. Next, we see confession, searching one's heart and life for what is wrong. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for the things that I've done. Help me to get this right. And I'm dedicating this decision. I'm dedicating my lifestyle to you. And then we bring it back to some hearty thanksgiving. So we say, I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you for all that you've done. And then we ask, hey, Lord, we're praying for sister so-and-so. We ask for your will in this situation. Hey, there's this person over here. Also, tomorrow's going to be a big day at work. Help me there. And then what do? We finish it off by, again, telling him how much we love him, telling him how thankful we are. And then we pray and close in Jesus' name. And, of course, we see that again in the book of John as we just read it. Now, what kind of things are we to ask for, right? Can I ask for a Lamborghini and then get mad at God for not giving that to me? I don't even know if they still make those. That is probably a vain thing. I'm not a car guy. I'm not. But can I ask for $1 million and get mad that God hasn't given it to me? Let's do this. Let me get some of the men. Who's ready to read for me? Can anybody? Matthew 6:11. Pop a hand up if that's yours. Matthew 6:11. Brother Charlie in the back. Brother Mike, if you'll give me James 1:5. All right. Daily bread, provisions. Lord, please bless the food. Please bless the income. Please bless what we're doing with it. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom in it. Right? You mean we're allowed to pray for something so vain as that we would have food? Oh, we Americans. there are people in countries who are begging God for food. There are people in parts of our country who are begging for food. It is okay for us to continue to ask God for those things because all of them are gifts from Him. Whether you are quite fed or you need to be fed, it is important that we recognize through our prayers that those things come from Him. And again, not just bread, but how about strength? Some folks, you wake up and you're tired. Some folks, you wake up and you're ill. We've got some people who are at home right now. They had a rough night or a rough morning. They're not feeling well. We pray the Lord for our daily dose of strength and ability. All right, James 1:5. Whoo, wisdom. Do we ask for wisdom? You had better, because otherwise we are going to make messes of our lives. Now, the problem isn't that we wouldn't want to admit that. I know a lot of people who would willingly say, I need wisdom. The question becomes, am I one who prays consistently and regularly for wisdom? Right? You think because maybe you're retired, maybe because you've raised your children, maybe because your relationship has reached a certain point, there's nothing much more you need wisdom for. Or because you have lived so long and you've experienced so much, you are done. No. When did Solomon start to make his biggest mistakes? When he had arrived, or how the world would say, he's arrived. So he starts making some of his biggest mistakes. David had established the kingdom when he made some of his biggest mistakes. We always need wisdom, right? A lot of the preachers who get into the ministry and fall out of it, why? Because they failed to act in wisdom. So again, we ask for wisdom. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, what are we asking for there? We're asking for God's word to have free course. Now, that is a two-part prayer. First part, that God's word would act on us, that it would do something to us. I kind of feel bad about this. I don't know if this is a good illustration or not. But I like coffee in the morning. You like coffee in the morning? I like coffee in the morning. Why? It gets me going, right? My mask broke. For those of you that have a CPAP mask, my mask broke. And I didn't know that it wasn't working. Well, I knew it wasn't working quite right, but I didn't know it was starting to have an effect on me. For many of you that use it, you use it to help you sleep. Me, I'm so obstructed, I stop breathing for minutes at a time. It's incredibly fun for me, incredibly scary for everyone around me. Just and then silence. I was getting tired. You ever have a cup of coffee and you're still tired? That's a bad thing. It has no effect. Why? Because you're so wrecked, it's not doing any good for you. Well, I've known a lot of people that have so sat under the Word of God and look at it so clinically and look at it in so much repetition that it no longer has an effect on them. And that's a little bit more on our sermon later, but the Word of God should have an effect on us. We should have that desire for it. And most of the time, the reason why it doesn't is because we fail to use it. Right? That's the biggest thing. It is not that the Word of God has lost its power. It is that we have stopped using it. Raise your hand if you think you've got a good collection of tools. Just one or two. We got a good collection of tools. Raise your hand if you've got tools you haven't used in a very long time. Have they lost their power? No. And many a times you go back there and you're looking through stuff like, we just moved, I'll find stuff. I forgot I had this. I thought I lost it. Did it hide? No. Did it lose its power? No. What happened? I stopped using it. When does the Word of God lose its power? When we stop using it. So we pray that the Lord, that the Word have free course. Also, sin will keep us from turning to the book. And it'll kind of hinder the book's power on us. Right? We need to remove the sin. So we need to ask the Lord to have that free course in us through His Word. We need to pray for things like boldness and comfort. Oh, wow, those are two different things. Well, no. Oftentimes, they're the same. How can I have boldness in this world? Sometimes when we fail to be bold in what we're doing, when we fail to have confidence in what we're doing, it is from either lack of practice or over-passivity. We're super passive about things. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be rude. It doesn't mean that we need to be throwing verbal haymakers everywhere we go. We can be nice and be bold. And there are many folks, you pray for comfort. Sometimes that is from spiritual or emotional pain. Sometimes we pray for comfort from physical pain. But all the same, we're told to pray for it. Psalm 34, verse 4. And then we see that we need to pray for understanding and knowledge. To get understanding and to have understanding. And of course, the number one prayer that we ought to be praying every day is that we would have help in overcoming sin. And I tell you what, that is one of the biggest battles we'll have. You know, emotional pain will come and go. Physical pain may come and go. And we pray for those things as we have them. Serious needs and problems and healing that we need from the Lord. We pray for those as they come and they go. But I tell you what, we need to pray every day for overcoming sin. We've been praying for people who have certain illnesses. And the Lord will heal them. And we don't have to pray about those things anymore. Tomorrow, I'm going to have to pray about overcoming sin. there's no condition that will ever change to make me no longer need to pray to overcome sin. Now, we've talked about this at great length. We need to keep an ongoing prayer list, a consistent and a well-stocked prayer list. And to me, you know, there's different ways of doing it. You know how I like to do it. Right here, have it. Because if something happens to this, is gone. If this, of course, the water can get to it. Have it in multiple different places, right? But have one that you're always going to, that you're always with. Because you've seen me do it. You'll come over, hey, pastor, can you pray for this? And if I do like this. Now, some of you are good to this. You're helpers to me. I know how it sounds the way I'm going to say it, but it is a help to me. Pastor, you're not writing it down. Okay. Let me know. Hey, you know what? Because sometimes I'll be sitting there like, all right, I'm going to pray for that, and this is probably... I'll begin to make connections to things, right? You say, hey, pastor, pray for so-and-so. I'm like, okay, well, they just said this, which typically means that this is going on in the situation. You'll see my mind wander, and it's typically because I'm going places, and I'm planning how to respond. I'm planning how to pray. No, write it down. Why? Because you'll walk away, and the next... You ever do that? Somebody will make a prayer request. You go, oh, I'm going to pray for that. Oh, I can't believe that. And then you'll completely forget about it until we bring it up again in church. You go, I was going to pray for that. That broke my heart. Now it's breaking my heart again. And I can't believe I forgot about it. Right here. It is not just a trick for the seasoned mind. It is a trick for the young mind as well. Everyone needs to keep the prayer requests written down. Because we'll fail at that. And sometimes as you're going through and you're updating prayer requests, it allows us to take that opportunity to praise the Lord for things that have happened. I like going back through old prayer requests and looking at those and going, hey, remember when we were all beat up about this thing that happened? And now we know that it has gotten so much better. And it allows us to take that time to praise the Lord for specific things. Not just to say thank you for all the wonderful blessings, but to be able to say thank you for healing so-and-so. And thank you for helping us solve this problem. And don't forget to write down the answers as they come. Because you might find yourself coming across those going, I have no idea what happened there. And I'll come across this sometimes as I'm trying to keep a prayer list going. You'll hear me say this, hey, if you've got any updates, let me know. Now, I know what happens to some people's minds when I say that. I don't want to bother him. You can ask Danielle about this. Unanswered questions are the biggest bothers in my life. I could be seconds from death, but we'll hold on for a couple more days to find the answer to something. It bothers me. You ever have somebody do this? Hey, Brother Tim, you know what? Never mind. I have to know. Just shoot me. I have to know. Walk away like that. It's good for us to go back and have the answers to that. Don't rile yourself up later. Don't bother yourself. Be able to come back with specific answers for the Lord. So prayer life is important. Hey, when do I pray? When's a good time to pray? Well, I guess that really just depends on what's going on at your house. Right? When do you pray? When do you have the best opportunity to pray? And then, of course, it depends on who is in your house. Right? When's the best time to pray for a family? Pray as a family. For me, we homeschool, so we pray as a family right before school starts. And we take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off from our family devotions. But before we begin schoolwork, we pray. It's great for the kids. It kicks it off. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be drawn out. We pray for their needs, we pray in thanks, and we follow the model, and then we're off to the races, right? Family devotion, prayer time, off we go. All right, what about me personally? When do I pray? Well, as a husband or as a father, I like to get up early before everybody else if I can. Now, it's getting harder to beat the oldest one. All right, him and I are in a race right now to see how early. Eventually, we're going to be getting up as early as Brother Art, but until then, I'll get up, he'll get up. He'll get up, I'll get up. And it's kind of like, okay, well, I got to go over here, and he'll go over here and start doing his schoolwork. And it's fun that way, but I need to get up early. I need some peace and quiet. Well, don't you like to sleep? I love sleep. I would sleep for 12 hours, you let me. But you got to keep it healthy, right? We preached on this before. You got to keep it at a healthy rate, right? So you set the alarm until you don't need the alarm anymore. God made our bodies to be able to wake up on their own, right? For those of you that know that, you know that. You set the alarm for so long, now you don't have a choice. Vacation, you could be in the hospital, it doesn't matter. Your body's waking up at a certain time. And that's the way the Lord made our bodies to be. So set the alarm till you don't need the alarm anymore. Get up early. Take that time between you and the Lord to pray, to have that conversation. Why? Because I'm not good to anything else or to anyone else until this is focused. We're quick, well, I need to have my yogurt, I need to have my coffee, I need to have my walk, I need to have my stretch, whatever it is you need to have in the morning, the first and foremost thing you need is the Lord. So I'm going to stop, I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord today. I'm going to repent of my sins before I begin, and I'm going to get going. Now, for me, I prayed a few times a day. The Bible says we need to be ready to go to prayer whenever we need it, right? To constantly be in prayer. Right, so there's a time that I have when I'm having an office day, when I'm here in the office, that's dedicated just to prayer time. All my chores need to be finished before that, and I'll go into it. How about prayer at night, prayer before meals? There's no wrong time, I guess, is the long way of putting it that I'm saying here. There's no wrong time for it. As a matter of fact, it should be happening multiple times a day. Daniel, one of the wisest people we see in the Bible, he prayed three times, like clockwork. This is my time to meet with the Lord. I'm going to get up, and this is when I meet with him. It's a midday. I'm going to meet with him. Here it is in the afternoon or evening. I'm going to meet with him again. Right? I would think about that. There were meetings that I would have with my bosses, and I would put the timing down. Why? Because I need to respect that time. Because that time belongs to him. Now, my boss could take 45 minutes. My boss could take an hour and a half. It didn't matter. 4 o'clock, I'm meeting with you. 10 in the morning, I'm meeting with you. Whenever that is, you sanctify and set that aside. That is my time. Now, am I in disobedience if I don't keep that time? No. Sometimes we're looking at it, we go, all right, well, Lord, today we're going to come back. I'm going to come back to you at 5 today. I'm going to come back to you at 10 o'clock tonight. But there will be a time where we come back. Is there a limit to how many times we can go to the Lord in prayer? Absolutely not. Take advantage of it, right? It's not a collect call kind of thing. You don't get so many set aside for you. Can be consistent in your prayer as well. One of the first things that happens as we fall off into sin is we stop praying. We stop talking to the Lord. And we need to be better than that. When it comes down to any kind of form of look into the daily walk, people ask this question about motivation. Can I tell you this, that motivation is one of the most overrated things you could ever look for? What's motivation? The encouragement and the excitement and the emotion to get things done. Emotion isn't really as prevalent in getting things done as the other word that I like best, and that's discipline. You don't need motivation. You need discipline to where you're going to sit there and have an honest conversation with yourself. Am I going to do this? Right now I'm trying to lose weight. I always bring things back to the physical because the physical and the spiritual are more linked together and we understand the physical a little bit better. We're driving home and it's easy to stop at fast food. And I saw an Arby's. Anybody like Arby's? Man. And I had a habit, and I can tell you this without shame because you can already tell I probably have this habit. They got the big one, the big roast beef sandwich. That's what I want. I don't want the little one where you sit there and you think about roast beef. I want the big one. And I want the big drink. And I want the big fries. And I want the, you know what? I was good today, so I want a shake to go with it. I want the Jamocha shake to go with it. We're going through this line. I'm starting to stutter just thinking about it, going through this line. Do I need to pull out my motivational tapes to get through that line without being a fool? No. Do I need to sit there and have a private coach yell at me in the ear, "Don't do it!" for me to be able to do it? No. What do I need to do? It's very simple. What do I need to do? Order for everybody else and keep my fat mouth quiet. That's it. That's not a very nice way to put it. I'm sorry if that offended you, but it's the truth. Just don't. Right? I'm going to decide right now, am I an adult? Yes. Do I control this? Yes. Do I control this? Yes. Do I control this? Yes. Then control it. But it's hard. Yeah. But control it. All right, well, it's hard to pray. Okay, but you're an adult. It's 11 o'clock at night. You haven't talked to the Lord yet. You know what this is a great time to do? Talk to the Lord about it. Oh, but you have to, getting that time to set aside for my Bible is difficult. Yep, now do it. What do you want? You want some emotion to help you? You don't need emotion to help you. Right? You're an adult. You stop, you talk to yourself. This needs to be done, and I'm doing it. Very simple. Now, it is hard. You forget, right? You put things off for too long. You get distracted. Again, discipline, discipline, discipline. Motivation's the emotion. Discipline's the work. Which one do I need more? I need discipline. So practice to be able to tell myself what I'm going to do. And we need to escape this notion that my days happen entirely on accident. Now, Maris, well, you understand this. The chaos is a little hard to fight, right? I could have all the discipline on earth and still lose to the chaos. But you know what? I don't give up the fight, right? You don't give up the struggle for it, right? I may be frustrated. I may be losing half a head of hair by the time I say, kids! But I'm going to stop. I'm going to force myself into this. That's why I like to get up early before the chaos wakes up. Yeah, I'm talking about you. But no, I'm going to walk down there again. But no, let's go ahead and pray and dismiss. Heavenly Father.